Before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to our patrons on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, especially Jen, Jesus Vicente, Daniel, Adri, Saul Alexander, Abigail, Luis, Iris, and Kimberly. We definitely do not get paid to make this show, so your contributions go a very long way in hosting the site, advertising, and just the labor that goes into editing and everything. So if you'd like to support everything that goes into making this, feel free to, you know, support us. No amount is too little or too much. So just go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is Cassandra.
And this is Ruben.
What's up, bitches? So, we haven't recorded in a while, and so much has happened since then. And we should jump right into it, but that's not our thing.
Did we skip all of Pisces season?
Did we? No, we talked about Pisces.
Oh, yeah.
Because we played Rihanna.
Yeah, and then now we're in Aries season.
Every season, I feel much better.
Me too, TBH.
I do. I feel more energetic. I feel like I haven't even thought about being depressed in a while.
I feel like I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown during Pisces. Like, I feel like I was getting there.
I mean, it wasn't just Pisces season for me. It was like the last few months. But I feel like Pisces season just, I didn't even know we were in Pisces season. I don't know what was going on, but I'm very happy Aries season is here. I have a lot of Aries energy, so.
I have a lot of Aries friends, which always, like, I always forget about. Not that I have friends, but the fact that they're Aries. Because I don't think about Aries people. Like, that's like a sign that I don't know Aries anything about, like, for real. Like, I think about Leos a lot, and I think about, like.
As a Leo, yeah. I think about Leos a lot.
But I don't think about anybody else. Oh, I think about Tauruses because they always lie to me or they're always shady with me. Like, always, like, without fault. Like, Taurus, like, they, like, feel like they can lie to me, to my face, or be fake with me. When that's, like, not, that's not the business.
The fucking nerve they have.
TBH.
I do love Aries, though. We talked about this a lot last year. I remember we were recording during Aries season, and I mentioned that Gerard Way is an Aries. His birthday's coming up this week. Mariah Carey had her birthday 2 weeks ago. Celine Dion? I thought she was a Leo.
No, she's very much Aries.
She's what?
She's an Aries.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is. Her and Lady Gaga, Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, Elton John, Diana Ross, all these divas.
Wow. And Gerard Way's a diva too.
Yeah.
Oh, March 30th. Okay. I don't know why I thought she was a Leo.
Maybe she just has like strong. I think we were confusing her like strength with Leoness. Shut up. What?
I mean, possibly. That's very interesting. It's very interesting that a lot of divas are Aries. Because when I think of Aries, I do think of like Mariah Carey and like. I love it. That's why I love Aries energy. I love Aries femmes. Aries men, I don't actually really know them, I guess. Yeah. I don't know them, but
you know what?
Aries femmes I fuck with a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My little sister, who's like the one I get along with the best, like she's an Aries and she's a diva. So it makes sense.
It does. My best friend is an Aries. And yeah, and me and Jose both have Mars in Aries, so that's a hot mess. But, you know, you fight and make up. That's
I don't fight.
That's the Aries energy.
I just win.
Yeah. So I think the last time we recorded, that was the episode that we recorded when we were physically together.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Riverside.
We're in California somewhere. We were in Riverside?
Yeah.
Riverside. Yes. So that was exciting. And after that, we did like 3 or 2 talks, so that was fun.
We went to Riverside, we went to Boston.
Oh, yeah, we did go to Boston. That was exciting. We
had one in Dominguez Hills. Oh, which, like, mentioning these live performances or whatever reminds me that if you want to book us for your school or whatever, you can email us at bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com or go to bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings or just go to bitterbrownfemspodcast.com, period, just to, like, get more resources on, like, everything we talk about. Because I'm tired of y'all being like, well, what about this, blah, blah, like, just go to the website and we'll, like, expand on everything even more. Because, like, we're not going to, yes, like, everything that we talk about, like, yes, it's opinion, but also, like, it's opinion based on, like, critical ratings, stats, and shit like that, right?
Yeah, it's kind of offensive that people, like, kind of the way they word these, because I know that's, it's not, some of them might not be, like, trying to talk shit to us, you know what I mean? But it's like, obviously we're giving our critical opinion and analysis on these things, but it's not like we don't read about it or research about it, or but you know, it's not like we're like, I call Ruben, I'm like, let's, you know, let's fucking talk about this, like, don't know shit about it, but you know,
yeah, it's not like we're whatever, like, hey, you want to make shit up for an hour and a half?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah,
you know, but on that note, we would appreciate it also if you would leave us some reviews on iTunes. I don't think you can do it, like, on Spotify or any other podcast site that I know of.
I think the best thing you can do on that is, like, follow us or subscribe.
Yes, you can follow us and download, you know, follow us so you can get updates and download our episodes and listen to them. Obviously, you can also share them with friends, but on iTunes, it really does help people, you know, find us. It'll, like, feature us. Because we've only really been featured on Spotify during, like, Latinx, Hispanic Heritage Month or something. and so, yeah. And then also, of course, if you want to support us, you can also go to our Patreon and sign up there. So with that being said, let's jump right in to the topics that we have for today. But before we do that, actually.
Okay.
Before we do that. Sorry. We're not ready. This is what we do. We just bullshit. This is, like, what they talk about. And they're like, they just bullshit. No. So, like, I had posted on her Facebook and Twitter a poll that I'm gonna give you all the results. And for those that didn't participate in the poll, that didn't see it, it says, sorry, y'all, pulling it up. Okay. The poll was a Chicano, TM, who compared Jesse Smollett to Charlottesville would like to come on BBF to explain the criminal justice system and how it relates to people of color. Would you all like that? And it 54% said only if he gets dragged. So the other options, of course, were good, pretty much. But just some background on that. So we have talked about Jesse Smollett, I think, for the last two episodes. So just to give a little update on that, I think after we had recorded, they said that they were going to charge him with 16, I think it was 16 felonies. Yeah. And it was just like, get the fuck out of here. Because, like, we've mentioned already in the last episode, like, he's just kind of being used as a scapegoat. And if you haven't listened to our last episode, you can go back and listen to our, because we did, like, a whole thing on Jesse Smollett. But so that happened. And then I think last week they dropped the charges. And so people were, like, upset that the charges were dropped and saying it's because he has, quote, black privilege, end quote. And so just ridiculous things like that. And so I had posted about, you know, that the charges were dropped on Chicanismo, and then some random guy started commenting, you know, just nonsense. Kind of, I don't even know what he was saying, but he was leaving a bunch of comments about his wrong opinion and comparing Jesse Smollett to, like, Charlottesville, and, like, saying he was trying to start a race war and just, you know, ridiculous shit. And so people were replying to him, and I think I only replied once because I was like, no. Like, I'm not even going to read your whole long, wrong paragraphs. And he pretty much kept replying to me and was like, well, can I go on your podcast and explain the criminal justice system as it relates to people of color? And I'm like, that is such, like, a typical man thing to do. Like, oh, you just don't understand where I'm coming from. So can I just, like, explain it to you and all of your followers? Because I'm really, like, I'm smarter than you, obviously. And it's like, okay, no, men, I'm smarter than you. Like, please stop. And we, like, no. So anyway, so that poll was like a joke about that. But, you know, you guys wanted us to invite him to be drugged. But, you know, I just...
And here he is!
And here he is. No, but I was... yeah, it was just a hot mess. But to be very actually transparent with you all, he kept leaving like all these comments after that, and I eventually had to block him because apparently I know this guy knows me, and I know him from like when I was 14 years old, and he was like 25 at that time, and I'm not gonna go on a whole rant about that, but just to let you all know, he's a fucking pedophile because he used to hit on me when I was 14, and so that really even upset me even more when I realized who he was. And so yeah, so if he's listening to this, you're a fucking creep. So you will never be on this podcast.
Yeah. And the thing about that is that, like, this isn't, like, an isolated thing. Like, these type of men, like, Chicanos, like, exist everywhere. Like, that's why we have all those nationalist IG pages that some of y'all follow for some godforsaken reason that are, like, you know, oh, like, Chicano, like, identity first and this type of shit. Like, just recently there was, like, an account called, like, the Flag of Aslan or some bullshit that, like, posts nothing but, like, these, like... culturally appropriative memes, and they try to tag us in like a call out about the whole Mecha name change, and they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's people like you that like push this type of ideology and blah blah. And I'm like, at first I like responded, I was just like, man, we're a podcast. But then I just blocked them because I'm like, what do they want? Like, what, like, why are they so stuck in like not having any type of progress? And that's, like, none of my business, right? They're gonna peter out and die. Meanwhile, this progress, you know, va a seguir pa'lante. So, I don't know. That's just the Chicano nationalist men, like, always bugging.
Yeah. Yeah, and this guy that I'm talking about, he, at one point in the comments, he was, like, telling my followers who were replying to him that they were trying to silence a Chicano. Like, those were the... the actual words that he put, like
man, those are Wendy's.
but yeah, the whole, so let's get into the Mecha thing, because I now that we're on this topic, I don't even know where to begin with this. It's been like a rough week. So apparently, you know, let's give the background. So last weekend, at Mecha Nationals, which was hosted at UCLA.
Thanks right? for the invite, right? Yep. Bitches.
Yeah, how could you not invite to be a part of this, like, conference? I mean, like, I thought we were, you know, the Chicano team.
Fuck. Been a Mechista for, like, 10 years. Don't even get an invite.
Right? So they had the you know, the annual national conference last weekend, and it was hosted by UCLA, blah blah blah.
So if you've never been to nationals before... Like,
yeah, tell us, because you are
I'm a Mechista alumni.
Mechista. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I am not.
I was all about that.
No, but yes, Ruben, tell us, what goes down at these conferences?
Yeah, so the first day is like an intro, you have like a bunch of keynotes, you have a dinner, and then you go home or whatever, right? There's a caucuses sometimes, so like they separate you into different groups, either by region or by gender, or by some other category, right? And then the second day, you have a bunch of workshops, and then also other caucuses to talk about, like, greater issues. And then on the Sunday, the last day, it's a full day of, like, people bringing up the issues and, like, solving them. It's, like, the resolution circle. And that's kind of, like, the most important day of the nationals, because you have every chapter present, and they vote on things that affect all the chapters. So all of the... Mechista, this last national conference, unanimously voted to change the name of Mecha to get rid of the CH or X for Chicanx or Chicano, and to get rid of the A for Aslan, right? They haven't decided on a new name yet. They just said, we don't want to be doing this Chicano nationalist shit anymore, and we don't want to do this, like, anti-indigenous, like, Aslan shit anymore. So they didn't say what they want to move forward with. They just said, we're going to drop these things. They, you know, outline a very, like, exhaustive essay on it, and essentially I think most of them, except for three, yeah, it was just like UCLA, Cal State SM, and then a high school. And that was, those were the only three chapters that didn't vote for the name change. And so, obviously, folks had a lot of feelings about this proposed name change that hasn't even gone into effect. Like, people are losing their goddamn shit.
Yes, I'm not gonna lie. It's been very, and I don't know if entertaining is the word, to watch. Also exhausting, but also, I'm sorry, it's funny. it's funny reading all of these people that are so mad about it. And it's funny because it's just with no reflection or even a willingness to, you know, talk about it in a good way. And like, let's even if like they, I feel like if you're like, I don't understand why the name changed, it's not even like a productive conversation. It's just like, they're so mad. Like, no, no, no. And fuck the youth. Like today I saw it earlier, fuck the youth, fuck millennials and like millennial brats, which, you know, with Gustavo Arellano using this whole thing made Gustavo Arellano revive his troll account that he used, you know, to troll Ruben back when.
Gus Garcia.
Yeah. And he thinks we don't know it's him. And so he revived his troll account to like post about how upset he is. And he kept referring to it as like millennial brats this and millennial brats that. And it's like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't millennials.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. Like Ruben had mentioned on Twitter, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I mean, yes, there are millennials, you know, in within that group and a lot of us that feel these things, but I feel like it was mostly Gen Z.
Yeah.
And Gen Z is really fucking, like, about it.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know, they're more radical than millennials. I feel like they have a lot to teach us too, and we're closer in age, and I just don't ever want to be one of these people that's like older and feel like I am not wrong because I, you know, I don't even want to listen to the youth, period. And today I read actually a very good article, and like we mentioned earlier, we're going to post everything that we talk about, we're going to post so that you guys can have access to it. It's on I always have trouble saying remezcla. Okay, there we go. And so it was.
Wow, La Pocha jumped out.
I know. It's. I never say that word out loud. The title of the piece is called "A Message from Mecha National Board: Why We Decided to Change the Name of Our Movimiento." And I mean, it just says by Mecha National Board 2019. So, but it's a really good article on why they chose to drop it and how, you know, in the beginning of the article, I just wanted to read, for, you know, this is a part of the piece. We first want to acknowledge the labor and sacrifices that Chicanx and Mechistas of the past had to do to get us to where we are now. We are by no means erasing those struggles. On the contrary, we are acknowledging and addressing the oppressive history and nature of Mecha. So in reality, we are honoring the history of our elders by bringing to light Mecha's flaws and improving our organization. We are not abandoning the constructive and empowering lessons of our forerunners. We will continue the movement, work to right the wrongs of the past, and look forward to a future of liberation and radical love. And I feel like that is very, because like, again, most of the people that are against this are, you know, older, are older folks, and they feel very betrayed, I would say, very attacked, very betrayed. And it's like, no, you know, no one is, and we've said this again, every time we critique anybody, especially like on our last episode, we talked about Dolores Huerta, and just like we talked about Cesar Chavez, just how we talk about anybody. And it's like, we are not allowed to critique our elders. We're not allowed to critique anything within the Chicano movement because it's seen as like we're just shitting on all of their work. And it's like, no, both of those things exist at the same time. Like, we can acknowledge that obviously they did a lot of work, they still continue to do work, but that doesn't mean that there's like no room for improvement or growth, you know. And that's like, again, why we're in 2019 and this is barely being brought to light. And I'm very glad that it is. Like, I don't think that changing the name is automatically going to make it great or make it inclusive or right the wrongs, you know? But I, like, even that someone had the willingness and, like, the courage to go to nationals and say, and propose that alone, I think that took a lot because look at the backlash that they're receiving, you know, and the fact that 29 chapters voted in favor of it also says a lot. So, like, no, it's not like, you know, it's going to correct the flaws of the movement, etc. But it's just, like, the right step to take, you know, even, like, that's what I feel about it. Like, there's a lot of work to be done, but the fact that it was even brought forth and put on the table, like, I think it says a lot about where, again, not just millennials, but Gen Z and, like, youth are headed and, like, how they want to fix it, you know, so...
Yeah, I'm just
very proud of you, youth.
I am very proud of you, children. And I say that, like, not to be condescending at all. Like, when I say kids, like, you have to realize that, like, Cassandra and I, like, I know we sound youthful and we look, like, beautiful, but, like, we're 30. Like,
and it's not that old. We're not also saying, like, oh, we're, you know, we're so old because I'm young, you know. But, like I said, there's a lot of youth that, like, on Twitter, I'm always, like, there's, like, 16-year-olds that are in high school that are doing that, like, even email us, and they're, like, we want to start, you know, our own clubs or our own podcasts, and, like, it's amazing. And that, like, when we say youth, we're obviously talking about people younger than us, and it is not to be condescending. It is because, like, it amazes me, and I feel very, like, a lot of pride seeing, you know, the youth being, like, bringing these things forward.
So yeah, it's, like, not to be condescending, it's just to, like, kind of show how, like, the gap in collective, like, in generational, like, understanding and, like, commitment to progress, because, like, I'm gonna keep it real with y'all, like, you know, I've been, you know, in and out of different metas just because I went to, like, multiple schools because it took me forever to get my fucking degree, but this conversation about changing the name and getting rid of Aslan and, like, are developing understanding on why it was wrong. Like, Aslan, as we explained many times already, has an anti-indigenous context to it. And then calling an org simply Chicanx when we're trying to be inclusive, like, doesn't always work, especially folks who have been hurt by other Chicanxes, right? Because as we've spoken about before also, right, there's this thing called, like, Mexican nationalism and Mexican hegemony that affects relationships with other Latinx folks. So we've had these conversations for ages, right? But every time we try to bring them to national level, like, it never went through, right? So, like, the last time I went to a nationals was, like, 3 years ago, and we had just barely even introduced, like, the X at the end of Chicano instead of the O. And, like, that was a whole fucking discussion that was exhausting. And, like, to see, like, the jump that happened in those 3 years is just so beautiful and mind-blowing. Like, not only have y'all, like, the youth of Mecha decided that they want to be inclusive of non-binary and trans folks in the name change, but also they want to get rid of the nationalism that has really been detrimental to the movement, right? And so, with that, I also want folks who are like, oh, they're erasing history and blah, blah, blah. I want you to consider for a second that, like, they're not erasing history. Instead, they're, like, highlighting the fact that it wasn't just Chicanos, Chicanexes, like, building this movement. It was other folks, right? So they're making space for everybody who was instrumental to the movement, right? Because something that we always erase is that, like, Filipinexes, like, Filipinos were a part of the, you know, the greater Chicano movement. And also, like, non-Latinx black folks were part of the Chicano movement in its inception. And so, but little by little, because of our exclusive, like, very exclusionary politics, like, folks just started to filter out and drop out, right? And there was even, like, a discussion in the early 80s about, like, women were about to drop out of the Chicano movement, right? Because, like, everything was very male-centered, even the fucking, like, icons that we use, right? We always use, like, some male indigenous figure and this warrior, you know? And, like, women brought up that had, like, very, like, they had connotations of, like, dominance over women's bodies and, like, there was a whole thing about, like, women leaving Mecha and leaving the Chicano movement. And it's even how, like, one of the reasons that the term, like, Chicanisma came to be, right? Because Chicanas were trying to make a space for themselves in the greater Chicano movement, right? And so all of that, like, has accumulated to this point where we're just, like, really examining the utility of not only the Chicanx identity, but also the way that is used as a form of organizing, right? And I think we're finding that it has limitations, and the youth are trying to expand those and organize without these limitations, right? And so I can only commend them. I am very excited for what's going to happen. I am also really, I feel shitty for them, because like, how are you going to make this move for progress? But all these old folks who, by the way, like, you have no business. Like, once you like left the org, like, sure, you're an alumni, but like, a part of organizing, particularly with this type of organization, is knowing and trusting that the youth will lead it into a progressive future, right? Like, you did your work and you know, your time passed. Like, it's time to move on, time to do some other shit. Like, girl, you're 50, you're 40. Like, get a fucking another like group to organize with. What are you doing organizing with this 19-year-olds? Like, that should be talked about a little bit there. Yeah. Like, girl, y'all need to assess your priorities instead of attacking these kids who are trying to do better.
Wow. Well then, I love that. Thank you for articulating that. And I feel like we will be called ages for that.
Straight up. Like, they called us about Dolores Huerta.
Yeah, about Dolores Huerta, which we will talk about in a second. But before I forget, to add on to everything you just said, on point, and I did want to add, like, one thing that I keep seeing a lot is like, oh, you know, well, if you don't like this, then you should have just started your own organization, you know, to people that are in Mecha that want to change it or whatever. And it's like, you sound like white people. Yeah. Okay. First of all, because this is like the same thing that white people do. And it's like, oh, you don't like it. You don't like that we're not included. Oh, you don't like this. Then you should go start your own group. And it's like, obviously that's why, you know, Black people, people of color, Indigenous people have always like obviously started their own group, right? Because we've had to. That's why Black feminism sprung from like white feminists and like Chicanese, like all because you're not including us. So we have to start our own group, like, obviously. But it's like, when Mecha takes up so much fucking space, it's not that Mecha is this little group and then there's like a Central American group and like it's like that. It's like Mecha is the biggest, I would say, you know, Latinx representation, if we want to call it that, on university. So for you to all of a sudden say like, well, why don't you start your own group after like so many people who are non-Mexican have given so much to your org, like, so like, thank you for your work, but also if you don't like it, like, go fuck yourself. Like, what kind of shit is that, you know? And it's like, also like, not that it would make it right, but it's not also like Mecha's like, oh, okay, let's help Central Americans start their own org, let's fund them, or let's figure out how we can also like show up for them so that they can have that space, so that they can have that on at universities. But it's like, no, you're not doing that. You just want everyone to join Mecha and to like shut up about it, pretty much. That's what you're telling everybody, you know. And so like, all these conversations, like, I laugh because I'm just like, it just, you know, like the fact that they're the whole thing is ridiculous. That's why it's funny to me, but at the same time it's like exhausting, you know. And
it's also like ahistorical, because like all of this, like, oh, go build your own thing, ignores the fact that like there have been colleges that are big enough. Like, I went to UC Davis, so folks who didn't feel represented by Mecha, they did in fact start other organizations. And guess what that did? Like, it made other organizations better, because everyone who had problems, who had legitimate problems with Mecha, built better organizations that weren't founded on nationalism and machismo and, you know, Mexican hegemony. Like, so essentially everyone who wanted to do good by this organization, they went to go do better with somewhere else where they didn't have the limitations of Mecha. So essentially, when y'all say like, oh, go build your own shit if you don't like what Mecha stands for, then like, guess what? Mecha's going to become even more irrelevant than it already is. Like, and like, this is coming from a place of like tough love, because with its problems, like, I still very much fuck with Mecha. Like, I really fucking do.
Which is like our conversations about our feelings about like Chicanx identity always. Like, yeah. As much as like we critique, and it reminds me of like this James Baldwin quote, which is probably random in this conversation, but it's like, it's like, no, like, we want, how to explain it? Like, it's like, oh, you're trying to shit on all our work and you're trying to destroy it. And it's like, no, if people wanted to do that, then they would be like, you know what, fuck my job. Like, period. Like, we're done. We're not even going to be a part of this. Like, we think it shouldn't exist. But the fact that that youth, that people in general are like, no, like, we want to save it. We want to critique the shit out of it because we care that much about it. You know what I mean? We're not just like, oh, you know what, throw it away. Which sometimes we have felt like that, I'm sure. I'm sure. But it's like, no, like, they're trying to, maybe saving is not the right word, but it's like, no one is trying to just erase it completely. People are trying to do the work to, like, correct it and make it better and make it inclusive, because it empowers people and it can be liberating and it should be liberating for everybody. So, sorry if that was just a side rant.
No,
that's about what you were saying.
That's real.
What you're saying.
No, I think because, you know, Mecha did do a lot of important things. Like, you know, a lot of Latinx studies departments across the U.S. wouldn't exist without Mecha, right? Because in some cases, even ethnic studies departments, because one of the big demands from, like, the original, like, Mecha constitutions was that they wanted a Chicano studies department in every university, right? And, like, a lot of schools, you know, did do that. Or if they didn't do Chicano studies, they built a Latinx studies or Latin American studies. So, like, it is important, right? And I think that's why people don't throw it away, right? And I think that elders, instead of being resistant, they should be fucking thankful that the kids are trying to save it.
Yes. There was, like I said, I've been seeing so many posts about this, and I've been reading all the comments, which are, like, the worst. But there was this one comment, and it's by, like, I don't want to guess his age. He's probably, like, 70 years old. But his name is Tomas. And he commented this, and he said, you know, in short, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but at the end of, if he said he agreed, you know, with the name change. And at the end, he said, let's applaud the youth that are advocating for this change and pushing us Chicanosauruses to keep up with the times. And everyone attacked him.
Oh, no.
Everyone attacked this poor little man.
My grandpa.
Yeah, our grandpa.
Respect and your just, elders or whatever.
Respect your elders, bitches. You guys are the ones that are, like, telling us we're not respecting them. And everyone was, like, on him. But it's like, why can't that be the norm? You know? And it's like, I don't want to be that person when I'm, I don't want to be it now, and I don't want to be it, especially when I'm older, where it's like, I'm just stuck in my ways, and, like, I'm like, no, like, you weren't out there in Duranguito, bitch, so you don't get to tell me anything. Because that's also, like, the thing that they say, where it's like, what have they done? What have the youth done? Like, they've never done anything, and it's like, they're carrying this org, so what... So what are you talking about? You know, it's like, how are you going to sit there and say we haven't done anything, but at the same time, like, it's just... Like, it's so hypocritical.
Yeah, they're
it's
doing
very
the
hypocritical.
Yeah, and it's erasure, because they're doing the work right before they're our erasing, eyes.
They're erasing our work. Let's start there in that conversation. How about that?
Yeah,
you know,
when people say, like, "What have you done?" Like, it's like them consciously not seeing your work as valuable, straight up.
Yeah, which leads, let's have this. I've been wanting to have this conversation. I feel now is a good time to have it. So as you all know, if you don't know, I have run a page called Chicanisma online. And when I created Chicanisma, it was actually Chicanisma CH. Okay. It was CH Chicanisma. I just thought it looked cuter that way. And, I didn't really know that there was work behind Chicanisma. What I mean by that was, like, I was like, Chicano feminism, Chicanismo is just, like, the word that made sense. So that's what I used. And it wasn't until, like, a few months later that I came across, like, Chicano writers and, like, people using the term Chicanismo in writing from, like, decades ago, which was amazing to me, where I was like, okay, like, this word has, it's a movement. It's already, like, a thing, you know? And then I eventually changed it to Chicanismo with the X because of that. And so if a lot of you may not know, but Ana Castillo coined the term Chicanisma in her book Massacre of the Dreamers. And I mean, if you're not familiar with it, you can check that out. And so, you know, I've always kind of, I don't know, felt like, how does Ana Castillo feel about Chicanisma, about my page, right? Which is interesting to me because I feel like Chicanisma is like doesn't belong to anybody. And I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like it's like a word that was put out there. It's like a movement. It means like Chicana feminism. It's not just like, but I actually met Ana Castillo. I want to say this was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago at a reading that she did.
And she jumped to me.
No. And I asked her this question because I knew that she followed Chicanisma. Because I saw her like some of the statuses. And so like, I knew that she was aware that this page existed. So when I saw her, that was a question that I had for her during the Q&A. I said, you know, do you think that Chicanisma evolves? Or do you think that what Chicana writers, what you wrote about Chicanisma, the way that you saw Chicanisma is like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, this is Chicanisma and there's nothing to grow from that. It's just like, that's it. And she was like, no, like it evolves just like any other movement, just like any other thing, right? Like it evolves and it grows with like the people, with youth, whatever. And I felt really like good that she said that, because I was like, okay, because this is my take on Chicanisma. This is what we're talking about, like Mecha and Chican and like Chicano politics and how we want it to grow and how we want it to critique it and how we want to, you know, make it better. That's what I saw in Chicanisma, right? Because yeah, Chicanisma grew out of like women not being acknowledged and not being respected within the Chicano movement, but that's not to say that Chicanisma itself doesn't have its flaws either, right? So anyway, so, and I want to make this story like as non-petty and as short as possible, but Ana Castillo doesn't like me. Let's put it that way. So the first time I met her, it was like a really good experience. I asked her that question and like we took a picture together and it was like this thing. And I've been struggling with like telling people this because I didn't ever really want to put it out there and like make it like a me versus her thing and like this dramatic, like, you know, like a, just like a chisme thing. But per our last episode, when me and Ruben talked about Dolores Huerta, a lot of people, like always, were really upset, are always upset when we talk about any, like we've been talking about any elder, about any civil rights icon. And so people...
Any Chicanx-related thing, TBH.
Yeah,
we exactly. Get more hate for, like, critiquing Chicanx stuff than, like, anything else.
Anything else, yeah. And combined. So, Ana Castillo, who has me blocked on Facebook...
Why does she have you blocked? Are we going to get to that eventually?
Okay, I guess we'll get to that because, I met Ana Castillo the first time. It was fine. We took a picture together. I even posted about it on Chicanisma, whatever. And so I saw her again, maybe like a week after that. And I had messaged her and I had said, you know, I'm going to buy two of your books. And so could you sign them for me so that I can give, you know, do like a giveaway on Chicanisma, whatever. And so I saw her again like a week later and at another reading that she did. And afterwards, I went up to her so she could sign the books, you know, so I could buy the books and she could sign them. And it was two books. And I remember me and Jose is my boyfriend, we didn't have enough money for like one of the books. And so she was like, you know, it's fine. You can just mail it to my assistant. And I'm like, okay. I was like, $12, but whatever. We'll do that. And so, you know, she signed the books and... She told me if I could credit her / Massacre of the Dreamers in Chicanisma's bio. And I was like, okay, but I didn't really know how I felt about that at the time. Because, I mean, I was just like, okay, that was like something I wasn't expecting her to tell me. And so, I don't know. I never credited her. I never put like Massacre of the Dreamers in Chicanisma's bio. And it wasn't to spite her and it wasn't to be like, oh, like fuck you or anything like that. I just honestly, Ruben knows, I just forget everything, number one. But number two, I was still coming to terms with like, I don't know. And I might be like in the wrong for this, you know? But it was like, I don't want people to think like that my page was like just about Massacre of the Dreamers or like that notion of Chicanisma, but rather like my take on Chicanisma. And at the same time, it's like weird to talk about because like I don't own Chicanisma. I don't think that my views are like the only right thing and that I speak for all Chicanas or, you know, like that. And I feel like she might feel the same way, you know? And so I was like kind of trying to come to terms with how I was feeling about that. And then I saw her maybe like a month later again. And we paid her for the book and like, that was pretty much it. So then fast forward to like, I don't know, a month after that, she, and again, I've never told, and I've, it's really hard for me to say this on like a public forum, because I'm not trying to like drag Ana Casilla. I'm not trying to like shit on her or anything like that, but I do want to be transparent about it, I guess, as much as I can. And so she had shared this, you know, I guess anti-Black meme. And I don't think that she shared it because she was like, fuck Black women. The meme was like kind of like an attack, like, you know, like those memes that are like, you know, Nicki Minaj and Amber Rose, I don't know who else was listed, and like kind of like that slut shaming meme where you're like, they all they do is take off their clothes, and like, who's teaching, you know, Black women to read, to be educated, and some shit like that, you know. And it's like, I don't think that she did it because she was like trying to be malice or trying to say like fuck Black women or anything like that, right? Like, I definitely do not think that that was her intention or why she shared it, but I commented on it and said that it was problematic for these reasons. And, you know, I wasn't attacking her, and I wasn't even trying to be rude about it. It was just kind of like, you know, when you call somebody in, and I felt like kind of scared telling her that, because it's like Ana Castillo, but at the same time I was like, I feel like because she's Ana Castillo, like, she should be told this, right? And so I commented that, and people were commenting and replying to me, and people were having a conversation about it on her page, and I knew that she wasn't going to reply, but I was like, well, she's going to see it, you know? So she blocked me because of that, pretty much, and me and like two other people that replied, and that was pretty much it. And I felt like kind of shitty, like, wow, you blocked me for that. I wasn't being rude. I wasn't saying like, oh, Ana Casilla, you're so anti-Black and racist. I was just, and I have screenshots, okay? I was just trying to, like I said, like, have a call-in about it. But, you know, I was like, okay, she blocked me. Like, it is what it is. I'm not going to go and talk, like, tell everyone that she did blocked me on Chicanisma, you know? But then, a month after that, you know, and it, I keep saying months after that. It's like, sometime after that, I had told people on my personal Facebook what happened, and it was like, I don't have that many friends on my personal Facebook. It's like probably 50 people saw it, and someone told her, of course, and so she wrote like this whole thing on her page about me spreading rumors that she's anti-Black. And she was like, oh, this person who has a page, Chicanisma, who refuses to credit me after I gave her two free books. And I was like, really? You gave me, like, and I emphasize on that because, like, I literally had to pay her for that book, which isn't, like, a big fucking deal, but I was like, okay. And she was also trying to be condescending, like, saying, like, something like, oh, I thanked her for her work. And she always, every time she refers to me, she kind of puts it in quotation marks with what we were talking about, how it's like, I don't do anything, and it's just like a meme page or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, and she had me blocked, so I couldn't see this. People were like sending me screenshots, and I was like, what? Like, she decided to go public with that. Like, I had never told anybody about that except like the close people on my Facebook. And so I was very upset, and I was going to write something in response, because even on Chicanisma, people were like, are you going to reply to what Ana Castillo said? And I was like, this is a, like, this is a lot, right? And she, like, it was just, like, this whole thing about how she's not anti-Black, pretty much. But it was, like, about me and how people were spreading rumors about her. And she tagged all of her Black friends at the end of it. It was just a hot mess. But she eventually just deleted it after a few hours. And so I just...
After folks were also telling her, like, this is not helping your case because you, like, tag all the Black people and are asking them to have your back. And also, like, you didn't realize why the meme saying that, like, women shouldn't twerk, that women should read, like, you didn't see how that was anti-Black. It wasn't just like she deleted it because she saw her way. She deleted it because she didn't want to engage the valid criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she deleted it. And so again, I was like, just let it go. You know, like every time this happened, like, again, I could have gone on Twitter on anything and said all of these things about her, which I was like, I'm not going to do that because I do respect Ana Castillo. Like she's a writer. Like do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, oh fuck Ana Castillo. And like, even after all of this, like, I'm never going to say that about Ana Castillo, but it's like, you're the one that's like publicly saying these things about me and I can't respond. Right. And if I respond, then I'm just like, I'm the bad person. I'm like the, you know, whatever. And so anyway, this was like 2 years ago. Like, she still has me blocked. Like, there has been no interaction, no nothing. And so when we did our last episode about Dolores, when we mentioned Dolores Huerta, so all of a sudden she like posted like a week ago, because again, people send me screenshots and I want to read it verbatim because, okay. She just said, "Who the fuck wants to call out Dolores Huerta? On Instagram, it seems, quotation marks, chicanisma. Parentheses, another thing, not me." And it's it's like, okay, first of all, we know it's not you. Like, I think everybody knows, like, you don't run the Chicanisma page.
Imagine her just, like, Ana Castillo, just, like, writing about, like, men are trash.
That would be great.
I would like but her. It's like,
yeah, I would like her. But and so, like, the whole thing was, like, that was, like, again, the whole, in that post that she made, it was, like, all the comments, which were similar to, like, the comments that we're seeing now about Mecha that are, like, how dare these youth, in this case, me, because I, like, critique Dolores Huerta, or me and Ruben, for that matter, that we're, like, the worst people in the world, and that we should be thankful for, like, you know, for their work, and, like, what have we done, and just, like, this whole thing. And so I was just, like, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and say what the you know, this situation between me and Ana Castillo publicly, because I mean, that's what she's doing. So let me go ahead and say my part on that. Because again, every time she posts about me, people on my page, like, DM me and they're like, are you going to respond? Or like, what is it? Like, they don't understand what's happening, you know? And so, I mean, that's pretty much the rundown. Like, when I think about it, it's like super petty, I think. It's like kind of just like, okay, you blocked me over that, which is fine. I don't care. But I think it's relevant to the Mecha conversation. And I just wanted to put that out there and also say that, one, I don't own Chicanisma. I've never claimed to own Chicanisma. I have never tried to be like doing something with bad intentions towards Ana Castillo. And I'm pretty sure she might listen to this. And it's like, I'm just being very transparent about it. And I have said time and time again on this episode, or even like, you can find posts and tweets that I've said, that I've wanted to change the name of Chicanisma for like ever now, but it's just like, I don't know what to change it to. And like, second, I'm just kind of like, I just don't really think about the name Chicanisma. Like, I'm not always online and I'm like, oh, my name, oh, the username, like, what, you know, like, it's just like, I created it and it just stayed that way. You know, I created Chicanisma, like, back in, I want to say 2014. So it's not something that's always on my mind that I'm always thinking about. But when these things come up or these conversations come up, I do think about it. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's not that big of a deal. Like, whatever. But since Mecha has decided to change its name, so have I. they have empowered me and encouraged me to also change my name. But I do feel like at this point with like the whole Mecha thing, I'm laughing because it's not about the Mecha thing, but I think it's just so funny because it happened at the same time. But if it bothers Ana Castillo that much, I'll change Chicanisma. Like, I don't feel like I'm like trying to hold on to it just to like spite her or like anything like that. It's really just like, you know, I was like really into like Chicano empowerment when I created the account and it just stayed like that. And it's not because I'm trying to own it or anything like that. I don't know. I needed to put that out there. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that. I just feel like if you see Chicanisma with the name change soon, you'll know why. And it's also not just that. It's just like I've mentioned time and time again, sometimes I don't feel like a connection to Chicana identity. Sometimes I feel like people go on the page and they're expecting something that it's not. Like, it's like a lot of things, but, you know, if you see it, I'm just gonna, you know, just say it was, because of Mecha, because, you know, Mitra walks so I can run with the name change.
Yeah, I think since like day one, we've both been like, we don't necessarily like the name of our platforms, but like, what else?
Yeah, but it's like at the same time, we're also not like, I feel like me and correct me if I'm wrong, Ruben, but it's like, yeah, we both have like Chicanx, Chicana, whatever in our name, but we're not posting like this romanticized Chicano bullshit. And we both know that. We both know, I think, for me at least, like, yes, my name is Chicanisma, but. And if you're go on Chicanismo and you're expecting this like Chicano nationalist point of view or whatever, then you're, you know, a lot of people are like, they don't get that. You know, you actually see the opposite of that. You see a very like critical lens of the Chicano identity. And I think that that's probably why the name hasn't bothered us, like, because we're not like online posting some nationalist shit. And I did at the beginning of Chicanismo, like I've always stated, but I have grown from that. And so it's kind of like, I don't know. I think that's why I don't even think of the name, you know? Sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, like probably a lot of people don't want to follow me because they're like, oh, she's going to be posting some wag ass shit, you know? Which is valid. But I think me, myself, I know that that's not the case. And so I just don't really think about it. But I mean, if it bothers people, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. So if you have a suggestion, Ruben has been sending me a lot of suggestions to change.
What's your favorite so far?
My favorite, let me go back. Bisexual intellectual. I really like that. I really like that. He also recommended Angry Town Feminist, La Chicana Mama, Feminista del Barrio,
and I like that one.
Chingona Chicana Cabrona Chillona. So, I mean, I'm taking some suggestions. I'm not going to pay you for it, so there's that. I'm just going to take it and say that I came up with it. That's a joke. Everyone relax. But yeah, so that was just, and I don't know. I guess to end that, I don't want to say how Ana Castillo should feel, you know, because she has the right to feel however she wants to feel about it. But it's just like an ongoing conversation about, I guess, the Mecha thing, about Chicano politics and identity, and about, you know, the people that came before us and their work and how they feel disrespected anytime we do anything, I guess. But, I mean,
yeah, so suggest names for Cassandra so that she can change her name and stop appropriating Ana Castillo's work. Yeah, I don't know. I've also thought about changing my name. I'm just like, but at this point, like, everything is already, like, watermark. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. You feel that way too? Yeah, it's kind of like, we're just like, there's like, again, there's no emphasis on my name. Like, I'm not like, oh, I love Chicanismo so much. I love the name and I love like, everything about it. It's kind of just like, it's a page and I use it to post. Like, I don't really think about it. It's not in the back of my head all the time, you know? But I mean, if you want, I know Ruben to change his name too, then you can throw suggestions. I'll throw some your way too, Ruben, you know.
Thank you. Oof. So with all this like deep dive into Chicanx shit and politics and icons and whatever, like, we want to end on like an oft forgotten Chicanx icon, Alice Bag. Not only is she a Chicanx icon, she's also a punk icon, an icon for like gender non-conforming elders, like, and just the LGBT community in general, and like women. She's just a fucking badass. Like, I get mad for her on like multiple levels, like being ignored as part of like the history of punk, and then being ignored as the history of Chicanx, like the Chicano movement, and like, just, and being ignored as like an LGBT elder. Like, I just get mad for her a lot.
Yeah, there was this piece that I shared. This was like 2016, so a few years ago, that I really loved, and we'll link it again, like we do every emphasis.
BitterBrownFemsPodcast.com.
Yes. And just to read a quote, so the title of it was called I'm Not a Riot Girl. And it was like a big thing because I know we've mentioned before too that I came into like feminism via the Riot Girl movement when I was in high school. And the Riot Girl movement, as much as, like, I listen to Bikini Kill still and, like, Bratmobile, like, and looking at it now through a critical lens, like, it was a really fucking white, you know, like, white feminist movement, and it was pretty much, like, white middle-class women, and so I didn't know anything about Alice Bag. I didn't know until, like, again, until, like, a few years ago, and so, like, that was a big thing, like, when people think about Riot Girl or they think about, like, white women in punk and you think of, like Kim Gordon or you think of, like, Kathleen Hanna, et cetera. But, like, it's, like, you don't think about Alice Bag or you don't think about any punk. You don't think about any, like, black punk, like, black people in punk. You don't think about, like, people of color in punk, period, you know?
Even though the godmother of rock is a fucking, like, queer black woman.
Mm-hmm. That is right. So, okay. So this is Alice Bag saying this, okay? In the 90s, when Bikini Kill was born, I was playing in a band called Las Tres at Troy Cafe in downtown Los Angeles. Las Tres was made up of three Chicana punks. Like the Riot Girls, we clearly identified as feminists, but we wrote and performed songs in English and Spanish about being women and about being brown. We were influenced by the sound of Mexican trios, which we fused with the spirit of punk rock. Maybe you've never heard of Troy Cafe or Las Tres or Mexican trios, but we were there, doing our own thing. Not Riot Girls, but every bit as valid and meaningful. And so it was, like, just a really powerful piece because, like, again, she is erased. She's either erased from it all or she is lumped in, like, as a Riot Girl. And so, like, that piece of her saying, like, no, we were not Riot Girls. You know, we were there and we existed at the same time. We were not, like, we're not going to be lumped in with, like, this white feminist movement at the same time being erased by it, you know? It's, like, they were doing their own thing and they had their own spaces and they were playing their own music and it's still, like, as fucking valid as the Riot Girl movement and all of the bands that were, and probably even much more so, you know?
Riot Girl, from what I understand, it is late 80s, early 90s?
It's I would say mostly early 90s, like 1992, 93, and it was kind of more in, like, it's, I know what Bikini Kill at least started off in, like, Olympia, Washington, mm-hmm. So it was more like Portland and Washington, but I think, like, it kind of spread throughout.
Yeah, and that's what I never understood about, like, lumping Alice Bag in with these people, because she was, like,
with these fucking people.
she was, like, a godmother of punk. She was in the Bags, the band, in the fucking mm-hmm. late 70s. Like, that's, like, Pat Benatar, like, those are her peers. And even then, she was creating way more, like, radical shit, like,
yeah, definitely.
Than her contemporaries, like, though I don't even know. I can only think about Pat Benatar because that's the only one that I like. Joan Jett, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I would say Joan Jett, yeah. And everyone else who Joan Jett is, you know? It's like she has her own documentary and, like, own movie. Like, she's, like, her own, you know, she has
status. The youth are going to be like, what are these old Chicanexes talking about, Joan like, Jett?
Who the fuck is Joan Jett?
They're like, who the fuck is Blondie?
yeah. Fuck you, youth.
After we give them all the credit in the beginning, yeah,
just we take it back. We said. No, but yes. So if you're not familiar with Alice Bag, I would, you know, look her up, listen to her music. We will include some of that stuff again on our podcast. We keep saying this. We will include it. Yeah. And she also has a book that was released a few years ago. It's called Violence Girl by Alice Bag. Yeah. And so it's a East LA Rage to Hollywood Stage, a Chicana punk story. So you can check that out as well. And what song did you pick? Or did we pick, I should say?
I was like between like No Means No. I think that's the most like accessible song. So Alice Bag, we're going to play No Means No, a song about consent. And
which is always like, obviously, the thing. So two notes on that. I was going to say, because you said No Means No is probably the most accessible. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is, we are an accessible podcast. Hello. Very respectable. But it is good because like we do realize like that not, you know, I mean, not everyone is going to like all the songs that we pick, right? Like people might turn this off because they're like, I'm not into like that screaming shit or whatever. But we feel, you know, that this is a good, like, gateway into Alice Bag. If you're not into, like, punk, you know, but you can still listen to it. So that's what we mean by accessible. And, yes, so No Means No about consent. And me and Ruben had, like, a whole like agenda about what we were going to talk about on this episode, and I actually tweeted about, a little bit about it. Did you see that tweet, Ruben?
Probably no.
I tweeted a little bit that white women TM were are on our agenda to talk about, but you know, we decided to just kind of devote this whole episode to just solely, you know, Chicano politics and Mecha and everything that comes that came with it. But we will save that for next time, which will come out soon because we are ready to talk about it.
We were actually not ready to talk for this. Like, this just we just had it for a lot of feelings.
That came out. We were like, oh yeah, let's just devote like, you know, 10 minutes to this Mitch on bullshit that we don't even give a shit about. But but obviously,
we do give a shit.
All of our feelings came out. So here we are.
And I think that's very like exemplary of like how we feel about the Chicanx movement. Like we're like, oh, we don't give a shit about it, but then we do give a shit.
But exactly. Just like all the other older people online.
Yeah.
So I guess we really are like them.
Oh, fuck.
You are like your parents, CDH. After all.
Daddy Cesar Chavez.
Oh, my God. I cannot. And with that, we, you know, stay alert for our next episode because we are going to drag the shit out of white women.
Yes.
Like we have before, but yeah. In like a more in-depth episode because we have a lot of feelings about them too.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Thank you for joining us. Remember to follow us, Bitter Brown Femmes, all over the place. Step to our house. Don't be creeps. And visit bitterbrownfemmespodcast.com for all your Bitter Brown Femmes needs. And yeah, be nice to your elders, but be nicer to the youth who are really trying out here.
Who are more important.
Yeah, because I'm going to die like tomorrow, so like don't even care about
it. Oh my God. Okay.
All right, y'all. All right, bye.